Lawmaster Podcast episode 31 with Paul and Barry.
Why, hello indeed, dear listeners. Today's episode is called Meeting Engagement.
Yeah, it's your idea, that.
Yeah,
that's your title.
Yeah, right, I own this.
Mine.
Right, yeah, so we played a game using the scenario that we meeting engagement, which we changed a bit from the last time we tried it, and we're pretty much set with it. So
yeah, it's good.
We're going to go confirm
with
that.
It was good
for me. Yeah. We're going to go confirm with that, and so now we have two tournament scenarios done for War Master, obviously Battleline, and meeting engagement. So from now on, whenever we play a regular game, we're going to be rolling for a scenario because we have a choice of two.
Yeah.
And we tend to, future episodes, we will be developing others.
Yeah. I think we've discussed the fact that Jim forwarded one about objective-based
yes,
one.
Yes, well, it's a point to talk about, yeah, like, which coming up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a point.
Oh, very good.
Right. Well, you wrote these notes, so you should know.
It was late last night. Very late. Very late. So, do you want to talk about what you've been doing first, Paul? I think we met last Tuesday, so it's like
it's here in
nights.
My diary. So we're recording on Thursday the 8th, so this will go out on Friday the 9th. And since we recorded last, I've played... Ah, yes, so first of all, I played Eric at War Machine.
How was that for Eric?
I made him cry.
Okay.
Yeah, like...
Was that the day after I'd made him cry?
I think that was the game that made him decide to stop playing minions. That was the game that it was.
He did offer me his minions.
Yeah, see, we're like, yeah, already they're trying to go. I'm playing in a War Machine event on Sunday. I've got two lists. Oh, I should show Barry, actually. They'll get on the painting table right now. And
Let me guess.
Yeah, it's Signar. Yeah.
Let me guess. It's E. Haley?
No, Nemo 3 and Maddox 1.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll show you the models.
They're not the flavours of the month.
No.
But that's good.
Yeah. So, we played this game. He used Barnabas, and it was sadly so one-sided that it made Eric question the faction entirely. I mean, it just wasn't difficult. Like, I mean, I played Nemo 3, and I've done a scientist kind of theme list, my own theme, and it was still, like, it was just like shooting gators in a locked barrel where they, you know, just fry them first before they get to you. It's like frying gator.
Electrocute the water so they can float to the surface.
Exactly. It's like, you can hide some stuff in a swamp pit. I'll just kill everything else. You're going to have to bring that stuff out of the swamp pit sooner or later.
Funny. So I was going to say this story, but I played Eric a couple of days before you did. Yep. And it was a similar list. I played Legion, shooting list, Lilith. And I got him so fixated on his little croak hunters that he put the croak hunters in the swamp pit. And I just killed everything else, including his caster.
Yeah.
He said, Eric, why don't you put your caster in the swamp pit? So yeah. I at least can't kill him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nope.
It was like one of those, you had one job moments. You had one job. It was to get in the pit.
God damn it, prospect.
I think back to back, against shooting armies may have ruined his love
of minions. Yeah, so he's he needs to play. He's just like, this is ridiculous. So, and a shame. I know played Eric a lot, and I know how far to push him. So I was just like, right, I'll win it here now, and won't say anything more about it. I won't gloat.
So like you.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to, you know, like change it. I know you can take it, but then we played Marvel. And I really enjoyed it. So I thought I would enjoy this game. It's the Marvel Miniatures game by Knight Models. And we played an intro game of it. And I really enjoyed it. And I picked up a full team for it. And I'm going to go with Avengers because Eric uses X-Men. And they're on a list to get done.
I'm disappointed.
What?
I'm disappointed in your choice.
Well, at the moment there's X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers.
Yeah. I'm not disappointed in your choice of Avengers.
What? Oh, the fact that I chose Avengers.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed with there's no Deadpool in here.
Oh, but is he really an Avenger?
He's in the list.
Yes, I know.
But why would you not choose Deadpool?
Well, I would have done, but I was like, he doesn't, like, he wasn't in the same movie.
That's not a movie, is it? Have you seen Rogue?
Rogue's
proper again. She can fly, super strong, absorb abilities.
It's basically 80s cartoons versions of these and current movie Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't recognise the cartoons.
Because in the X-Men, it always upset me that Rogue was basically, what was her name? Jubilee or something in...
Siphon.
I think it was Jubilee in the original X-Men, but she adapted some of Rogue's abilities, but lost all the strength and flying and stuff. Basically, she'd just absorb.
Yeah.
She was really rubbish.
Yeah.
In the movies. It's a sad, sad, empty shell of Rogue. I want Rogue going kicking ass.
Well, she can. like in this.
Oh, I'm sure she can, yeah.
Unless Thor hits her with a hammer first. You know, like...
Or Hulk just yeah. smashes her.
So, yeah, and I say, like, if you want to pick up a fun game that isn't overly complicated, but still complicated enough to reward, you look for synergies and better players will win, Marvel, this game is fantastic for that. So my Avengers team, I've gone for the Captain America, like, starter set, which is America, Iron Man in a regular suit, Thor and Scott, Black Widow, and then I've gone for Black Panther, Vision, and Hawkeye. I definitely want the flying guy, Talon, is it, what's his name? Falcon. I want Falcon. Okay. I want Falcon, but he's not out yet. Okay. I don't know. But the company's clearly onto a winner here.
What did they call him in the film? Flying Dude or something, was it?
Falcon.
No, in the Ant-Man film, Flying Dude, I'm sure. You've not seen Ant-Man?
No, I haven't seen Ant-Man in the movie. Right? Oh, is he in that?
Yeah, he tries to defend Stark Industries against Ant-Man.
Right, okay.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact these are all metal. Good for them.
Yeah, yeah.
They look nice.
They come with all the box. The blisters come with all the rules. There's a rule book in the starter set there.
You get a little like stat card?
Yes, you do. In fact, open one up and I'll show you.
Here we go. The nice little clamshell.
Yeah.
Bit of foam. Oh, look at that.
This is Black Panther.
Oh, that's nice.
So that is his stat card.
So there. The packaging is also the stat card?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cleverly done.
Well done.
And that's everything you need to play the game. And the core rules are in the back of the Marvel set there. Yeah, these are in the Sardis set.
Mm-hmm. No, excellent. Well done, then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really nice. So we're going to play this over an infinity table. So there'll be tons of scenery, because all the scenery is interactive. You can destroy it. You can pick it up and throw it.
You know
what
we need to play it over?
What?
Do you even know Monpocalypse?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this stuff's made for.
Oh, yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. You've got all different types of buildings, and you can smash the buildings up and create rubble, and radioactive rubble. For anybody who doesn't know, Monsterpocalypse was the game that Privateer Press did third after Grind. It's a crazy kind of, like, think of, what's that film that came out last year? Pacific Rim.
Yeah, Pacific Rim.
Think Pacific Rim, and that's exactly what it is. You're fighting aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
But it's like, you are the world championship or something in this, aren't you?
There's only about four of us in the world.
Yeah.
But it's an incredibly good game.
Yeah.
And there may be a film coming, so.
Ooh, fantastic. So I did those two things. Then also, I played some round at my neighbour's. We played Baxis and Allies, the classic game with his three of his brothers. So four of us played Axis and Allies, which is quite good. It's a classic stand game, as it's been for decades, hasn't it? Then down the club last night, I played Rodders at Warmaster. It was a regular game. I used Skaven, and he used his Beastmen, who he was tokening out, trying them out. And he had a good list. He had a really high break 15,
yep.
Beastmen army, with 10 units of Chaos
Hounds,
yeah, and... Yeah, he played it quite well. Like, we were like, do the woods matter too much? They don't really for Beastmen, I don't think. I think the free woods are okay for a Beastman. There'd be more of a problem.
Well, they do if you're bringing 10 units of Hounds.
Well, there'd be more of a problem with Wood Elves, but like he's got, yeah, and Beastmen should have a lot of woods. That is what they're about.
I think you may have difficulties holding the line with one and not the other. So if you said that wood elves have to lose their woods, then Beastmen have to lose their woods.
I mean, what I'm saying is it didn't seem to matter too much to them. As in, to have the woods or not. They're just thematically there.
I see what you mean. So like, they could
wood elves, it would definitely, wouldn't it? Yeah, and the...
There will still be woods on the table.
Yes, and the ambushing rules, how he played it was really good. Like, he chose to not oversize, two fair brigades for it, marked down, and he got... that's how I would do it. I would put two brigades to ambush, one either flank, and I would not... push them too far forward. I would have them about on the midway of the table.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So what happened was, is when he popped up the one where the fight was happening, I then had to deal with this brigade in the flank.
You know how Skaven likes to fight on two flanks.
No. And anyway, I lost this game because I couldn't turn my brigades. I kept failing the orders. While he was chewing up my flanks because of the ambush. So I was like, fair enough. But I was too... a couple of pints of San Miguel in, so it's like loving life anyway. So it's like, so I lost that one as well. Oh, as well, spoiler.
Nothing to see. Mm-hmm. Is that you done?
Yes.
Modest week for you.
Well, I've been doing a lot of painting, and I want to show you the Signar I've been doing after this.
Okay, yeah, good, good. So, yeah, I've had a reasonably busy week for me. So, last Wednesday was first Spadaric. I was using Legion, like a shooting list. The list is good, but it has nothing to do with scenario play. So, it's one of those lists that you're kind of feinting that you may be interested in the scenario, and really you're not. You're just looking for an opportunity to kill the other person. So that felt like it was weak, and I needed something that could contest and gum up the middle a little bit.
Yeah.
Luckily,
you have a Hellmouth.
Creating such a thing.
They heard your call and were like, "We shall create this thing."
This totally bent piece of cheese that's out of stock everywhere in the galaxy because it's so bent and so cheap. But it's a lovely model, and yeah,
It's a lovely concept of a model, definitely.
Like the model?
No, I like the model. I'm just saying, I like the idea of what it is, like a creature underground. You know, like it's popping its head up, and like a beast of Sarlacc. It's like lovely.
Yeah. So if you're a Legion player, I guess you're picking some up, and if you're playing against Legion, you'll be seeing them everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every Legion player will have these, maybe two.
Yeah, well, they're so cheap.
Yeah. Six points for that is a bargain.
So that was good. We had then next I did the War Machine National, so I had to travel 6 hours up to
Stockport. Yeah, you've got a big story. Tell us all about that.
Well, it was all right. We had it's a 128-player tournament, which is 7 rounds. So that's quite a the Saturday's quite a stretch because you start at 9.
It was like you said,
it
was like a dozen under the actual starting number.
Yeah, we had quite a few people who didn't turn up who bought tickets.
Yeah,
which is strange.
Why would you do that?
Well, don't ask Aaron. He bought a ticket and didn't show. But we didn't have really any more drops.
Yeah.
Because people were saying, oh, people just think this is crap. They'll play a game and go home. Or once they get to losing a couple, they'll go home. But no, everybody stayed to the last round. Oh. So some people dropped in the last round because there's nothing left for them to play for.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to win anything.
Need to get home.
And they'd rather go home. But fine. Mm-hmm. The game itself is in rude health. Mm. It's weird. Mm. I try to describe it as like the Age of Sigmar, which we'll discuss again later. It's like, if you go back 15 months, Age of Sigmar was dead on arrival. You couldn't...
You couldn't sell it.
You couldn't buy a game. You couldn't offer somebody to buy a drink to play you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think like Mark III's got a bit of that in it now.
Yeah.
And I think once people start seeing shiny new stuff and theme lists come back around, I think you may find that people start flocking back.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
One thing, if anybody is interested in getting into War Machine, whatever you do, don't start buying books. Just buy War Room, because I think the amount of books coming out might be a bit daunting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are you allowed to say?
Well, as far as I know, there are multiple books per faction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like as many as potentially 4 books per faction.
Amazing. Yeah, well.
Well, it's good if you like fluff. It's good if you like books. But if you're like me and just want something clean and concise and
on your phone
or whatever, and it's cost about, like, if you bought everything, it would be £65.
But if you've like me, I've got Signar on War Room, and I've got Mercs on War Room, and I think I have Minions on War Room. That's it. Like that, it just up, so then like
£15,
and then it updates. You know, like when they come out for free.
So the last edition lasted what, 6 years?
Yeah.
So let's assume it's 6 years. And you won't have to buy any rule books, any expansion books, anything. Just that one-off. If you want to play one faction, it'll cost you like £7 for a faction. That's
That's it. And if you change devices, you've got to log in.
You can have three devices.
As I say, like it's not a problem, is it? Yeah, like you just get it, again.
So that's one thing digitally. I think they're doing quite well because other companies, like they'll let you buy the digital books, but they're only buttons cheaper than the real books generally.
Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas this is if you pony up the money, you'll have all the rules for all the models ever released until Mark IV, whenever that is.
The only negative, I would say, to this reliance on technology is that I'd rather, in War Machine games, it's just much easier for my opponent. Like, I'd rather play an opponent using the cards rather than an iPad, which has all the rules on.
Just, I think you'd have been disappointed at the Masters.
Well, though. Count me then in the minority. I'd rather use cards. And I'd rather play against someone using cards, because then I can pick up a card and look at it. And if it's your iPad, like, it just gets a bit messy.
Some of them are like, they're on big docking stations now, so you're not picking them up because they're all docked in and stuff.
No, fine. It's just that with a card, it's just so easy to use. And it's like,
you can't do any damage really to a card.
You can't do any, if it's laminated, you can't do any damage, and you're marking the boxes. It's everyone can see. Yeah. It's just like, if it's behind, I can't see what you're typing in on your iPad. Like, you're marking your damage. Yeah. I'm not saying you could get away with marking
one less.
People
will cheat. Don't. Especially if it's an important match.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll do one less damage to save that system. It's like, well, you know.
How are you going to prove it? You're not tracking it, are you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't. And I just, like, I just. Why can't everyone just use cards? It could be old school.
A bit for a start, because you have to rebuy the cards.
But the models will come with cards, won't they?
Yeah, but not if you're going backwards.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. All right, fair enough.
So say a deck of cards is, what, 15 quid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And the war room is 7 quid?
Yeah.
So you just buy the war room, you don't need the cards.
True.
So they may not even have cards.
Oh, I hope that isn't the case. Yeah.
Well, I think it might be.
Well, I hope that isn't. Well, no, they've started Mark III with cards, so they're going to finish Mark III with cards.
No. I mean, there will be cards available. I'm just saying people won't necessarily even have cards to show you. Say, can I see the cards? Well, I don't own any cards. It's all on War Room.
Yeah.
So I think there may be a kind of, what would the, not an expectation, but there might be a movement towards people just having their own full set of War Room, so they've got all the cards. So you don't have to ask for a card, you've got the card.
Hmm.
At tournament level. I'm not saying like down the club or whatever.
Oh, we'll find out. We'll see what happens. I think the insistence then on like owning something outside the game is in, that's not so good. I don't have an iPad. I wouldn't want to buy an iPad to play War Machine.
Okay, so say you were playing Fantasy back in the day. Yeah. Lots of people owned all the army books.
Yeah.
They didn't own the armies. Yeah. They didn't play the armies. They just owned the books, so they knew what the army did.
Yeah.
Similar thing.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It's like information, and you've got to know what the other armies do in order to be able to.
Especially.
Anyway, so it was good. War Machine Nationals was good. That was one of my two big weekends away a year.
Mm-hmm. But it's nice that you've come back positive, like about it. Like.
The club was rammed full of War Machine players last night.
Well, are we talking about that? We're not talking about that yet.
So I played Nick last night at War Master. Nick was playing his Undead. I've started to start work on my tournament Lizards, which is fully painted thanks to Rid. So I'm now using my tournament Lizards in tournament practice.
With no exceptions. This is exactly the list that you like have
always wanted.
Yeah.
I've still got one unit of non-GW Pterodons, because I couldn't find any, so whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was good. I like my list a lot. It's strong.
Yeah. So it's
like everything's really meaty. The Taurus are meaty. The Croxigor one unit, they're really meaty. And the Cavalry are... If you can get them in, they're strong as anything.
Yeah, if you get them behind a full Skaven Brigade, they're pretty meaty.
Well, last night I put them into Nick's... Because Nick was playing in one corner.
Yeah. Oh, like you.
Yeah, like me. But he deployed in the one corner, and he had like massive brigades, and he had all his artillery and Sphinx. So basically, I just moved my army to the other side. Yep. So we're going to test each other's leadership out. And... he pulled all his chariots out to the left to engage me, and I put my cold ones into the chariots, 8 older chariots.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's most of the punch of his army done.
Yeah.
And then we managed to get the Sphinx.
Because he wants protracted combats to get more raised units.
Yeah. So then we got the Sphinx and his horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was trying to... So that left him just infantry.
Yeah.
And it was turn 5 before he even got a combat on his turn to raise dead. And then that was it. It was there, so it was like, 11? So 11-1.
Ooh.
He artilleried one of my units to death that I had to put in the way.
Anyway, curses!
Curses with the wizard in it. But the list is strong. I played it again today, the exact same list against Paul, because I'm now trying to test this list against the scenarios, because I know it'll do the pitch battle.
Yeah.
But can it deal with the other stuff?
Yep.
Some of the brigades didn't work quite so well. Like, there was a unit of skinks that kind of caused me to build my brigades differently.
Mm.
But I guess in your scenario, you can just build your brigades differently for that scenario. They're not, like, locked together brigades, are they?
No, God, no. You've got an army list.
Yeah, so you can build it how you want. So the scenario is different, you build your brigades different, which I had to do, which was really good.
Yeah.
So thanks for the game last night, Nick. He had a table with absolutely tons of defended on.
Yes. Well, he has
that's what did it. It's like, shit, this table is covered in scenery.
Yeah.
Like, covered in it.
But it's a lovely table. It's an Empire table.
Yeah.
I love how he's done the woods.
We had more woods on our table than you did. And Rod has brought 4 of his own.
Yeah, for the Beastmen. Yeah, true.
So it's like, shit, man.
Mm.
So that kind of forced me to play really defensively and just pick him off, because... No. It's not easy getting into defended positions.
No.
Even against skeletons.
No. Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, and the last thing is I've been working, like, now the kids are back at school, I've been working flat out on my Kickstarter, which is gonna go live at the end of the month. I think
end of the month, people. Everyone's going to own an ogre army.
Well, some of an ogre army.
But then more of an ogre army later, well, because we're all back this one.
So No. What the Ritz taught me down into trying, like, a smallish commitment.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, it'll be £1,000, and that will get the first unit done. Because the initial units, like the warriors and armoured warriors, they need 9 sculpts.
Yeah.
That's a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
For 9 individual sculpts.
Yeah.
So the first couple of units is, like, I'll be lucky to even break even. In fact, I'm not even including some of the costs in the Kickstarter.
Oh, fair enough.
But then further on down
the line... Got to spend money to make money.
If we get towards the kind of 10 grand,
yep,
then... Potentially, there'll be a very big range, in the full range of an ogre army.
Yeah, well, I'll be back in it.
Well, good for you, sir. I'll put you on. So that's good. I'm working hard, doing videos and stuff. If anybody's interested, you could look up Blackgate Miniatures on Facebook.
Blackgate. But this could be the start of amazing things, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we never know. Never know. We'll have big plans.
The pre-runner, like, it's making models, then it's making ranges of models and different armies, and then it's making a game for the models. It's like...
You've got to have plans.
Got to have plans. You've got to aim for the stars.
So, the week in wargaming...
Yes.
...is our next section. So we talked a little bit about last night at the club. Should we talk about the...
Yes.
...what was going on at the club last night?
Yes. Let's do that.
So, in reverse order, we had 2 players for Guild Ball.
Was that 2 tables?
2 players for Guild Ball.
There was a second game of Guild Ball being played?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was. That was outside, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So 4 players for Guild Ball.
Yep.
Decent show.
Yep.
4 players for Warmaster.
Yep.
Best game.
Yep.
A couple of players for this Marvel. X-Men game,
yep,
thing. And how many Age of Sigmar players?
12.
Plus some that didn't have a game already.
Yes, right.
They couldn't find room.
Exactly. We were... Luckily, I could get to the club before it opened, even. You have to get tables before it opens now. Yeah, like, and I...
Well, I can't do it. I can't, well, can't get there.
But I can. So I got us 2 6x4s in the middle of the table under the one light that works.
It sounds grim, but the club is really nice. Yeah. You just have a bit of a lighting
issue. The lighting issue is bad. Anyway, the way to do it, like multiple big game systems, is to put all the tables together. You get more table for your tables.
But those 6x4s eat up tables.
Yeah, well, they're going to. And the Age of Sigmar stuff, like, took all the rest of the tables, basically. So people were having to bring boards down to expand the circle, like the smaller tables that there was. But we can't have a booking system in the club.
No, we can't.
We can't do that. Yeah, like.
But also, it's been a long time since we've had
had this issue.
Predominance of 6x4s. It's been 4x4s.
I think it's fantastic that Rid's managed to get 12 players into this, like, because he's running it. You know, like,
I saw some tension last night already.
Oh, yeah.
people could have quite easily played a second game, and a lot of them chose not to.
What do you think that happened?
What?
I suppose they were, didn't they?
Some of them, they were finished early, some of them.
Yeah.
So, we will see. I definitely think it's good that it's here. It's good that people are interested in fantasy again, whatever state it's in or whatever world it's in.
Let's not call it fantasy. Don't insult me. You insult me, sir.
Well, I think league play is really kind of pushing at the boundary of where the game could go to.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mark Pocock's filth.
Oh, dear.
Dave Downs is a genuinely kind of laid back, kind of chilled guy.
He weren't so chilled afterwards. One of the things funny in our club is it's basically become a dining club. So, like, everyone jumps in on a takeaway. And, like, with the weather being so nice, we're sitting outside enjoying it. Anyway, listeners, what happened is there was a player down the player down our club who, how to put it, like, is very good at min-maxing and finding loopholes in rule systems. And so it makes him a very good War Machine player. Because, you know, that's the kind of game that is. But put him in a different system and... Yeah, he is that fluff killer bunny.
But he's also not ashamed to just net deck.
No, exactly.
This is the best. Let's go. Bring it. Yeah. Which is what War Machine kind of says. Come on, bring it.
Exactly. Page 5. Yeah, it's gone now, but I like it what it should be. But and so he played a game against another regular. And
I think I've already said both their names, but
but for people who don't know who they are, and it didn't really go very well mutually. I thought, afterwards, I don't think both sides enjoyed the experience.
But I think that's where we'll see, like, in a few more games' time, when stuff starts to get meaningful, yeah, if it ever does.
Any game that boils down essentially to a debate, an argument on rules, like, and how rules are interpreted, is not good. Yeah, like, no matter the system. Like, something like,
I find it amazing you could argue over the rules. Well, there aren't any rules.
But
must,
like,
be model rules.
But what rules, because that's where Age of Sigmar is.
Yeah.
But what rules there are, like, they're not clearly written enough, and they're open to abuse, and Mark's the kind of person that would abuse it. Yeah, like, so, not good.
I think Dave was explaining that normally it's quite rare in Age of Sigmar to have more than one save.
Yeah.
Because that's how they've made the game, you know. It's not like it used to be in Fantasy, we have this save, then a ward save, then this, and a
rerollable,
blah, blah, blah. So, Mark's managed to find some combination of cheese that allows him to have unmodified armor save first.
Yeah.
So normally it's all this red and stuff, but he just ignores all that. Just normal armor save. Then he has another armor save. Then he has...
So he's got three.
Yeah, he's got three saves on every model.
And then he's bringing back the models that you kill. You know, I mean, who wouldn't?
It's in the rules.
Who would enjoy playing that?
I was like, hang on a minute! I've achieved literally nothing. I've been playing for 2 hours. I've achieved nothing.
Yeah, and you've grown back anything I did.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, good. So Age of Sigmar watch. We'll call this section from now on. I think it's on the big upswing.
But this was a league night, and they're going to do the first meeting of every month. Is going to be a league night, and I saw a few players in amongst that Age of Sigmar crowd I had not met before.
Like, yeah, there's a guy called Luke. Nice to meet you, Luke.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've met him. He said he listened to the podcast.
I know.
I don't know how. I haven't met you before, sir. But, thanks for listening.
You rock his children to sleep. Your calm voice. You know, like,
calm northern squeak.
Calm northern squeak, like, is how his kids sleep.
And he talks about Beastmen. He liked the look of Beastmen.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Join in, sir. You know it makes sense.
It was quite funny because we had... So our two tables, dead centre, like, old, incredibly old school, which is Warmaster. And there's the new thing... The new popular thing, like over the month, Age of Sigmar, with 12 players all down a line,
smashing big shit into each other.
And I was just like, I looked at it and I was like, well, there's a lot of players in that Age of Sigmar group I wouldn't mind playing, and then there's some players I definitely wouldn't want to play.
I don't know. I didn't like that place.
And players I don't know. And I was just, like, ultimately, as well as the players, it's like the game system as well. It's just like.
Just give it a go. It's like Guild Ball. People rave about Guild Ball, but I can't get excited enough to want to play it.
But it's like, who would you give it a go against? That's the thing.
I'm not as fussy as you.
Yeah,
well, not for a first game.
Yeah, it's like
first date. I'll take most things. As long as you buy.
Repeat you buy days, the drinks.
It's a different story.
It's all on the cards.
It's funny. If I've got no game on, I'll often post up and say, I'll just play anything, whatever you want. I mean, I've played Judge. I'll play any game once. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, except Guild Ball, it just doesn't do anything for me. Well, I don't understand.
What we've said before is...
I'll play the card game that Guild Ball's got now.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, yeah, the trading game.
Yeah, but yeah. Do you score goals? Is it just like playing football?
Yeah. Yeah. You need 12 points to win. Score a goal is 4 points. Knock out another person's team member is 2 points. Whatever combination you
what
get.
What do you mean, like a block?
Yeah, like so
if you knock somebody out with a block, you get 2 points?
Yes.
Like 2 points, like scoring goal points?
Yes, yes.
So you don't have to score any goals?
No, you can knock out 6 players. But that's the thing. The issue with Guild Ball is that that's the only... It's a football game, like Blood Bowl.
Well, it's not, is it?
No, but like it's in...
Because now you knock people out and get points.
Well, yeah. Okay, but the...
So you could build a team that doesn't even give a shit about the ball.
That's just the Butchers.
Like Dwarves, yeah?
Yeah, that's Butchers in it.
Dwarves, so, yeah.
No.
Smash them.
Well, like, they just... That's the problem with Butchers is they can do it too well. Like, they really do it really too well. Yeah, I don't see how you fail to, like, kill people with Butchers. You know, I'm sure there is ways, but it's just like they just, like, any of their members just annihilate one of your team when they get in on it.
So it's all one-on-one, or is it?
Normally it boils down to that. I mean, so I was saying is that the problem is if you can't outfight the Butchers and you can't seem to pass the rule around that well, what do? Well, you kind of lose. And it's like, there is no other way to... You can't go, like, it's a scenario play. I'll go and do this scenario, or I'll contest the scenario lightly while working on something else.
Mm-hmm.
All you've got is scoring, or and if you're killing the enemy. And if you start some kind of peace trade with butchers, you're going to lose that because they will always kill their opponent, and you might struggle on yours on the return.
Right.
Yeah, it's difficult. You might start the peace trade, but ultimately they're going to finish it. You know,
so it's interesting. What got me interested recently is I saw a little. They call them goal markers.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like a wooden, almost like a. Like a hangman's.
Yeah, people build them. Yeah.
And it's like I had a target.
Yeah.
Like a bullseye target on it.
Yeah.
It looked really cool. It's like, wow, actually, in my mind, I'm starting to kind of invest in the game now. Because until that point, it's just, what is this goal? What am I even doing?
Yeah, exactly.
But you can throw the ball at the goal.
Yeah, so the Mason team I have a pillar, and that's their goal. A stone pillar.
And they throw it and hit the pillar, score
a point. Yeah, if you hit the pillar, you score a goal.
1 point.
Well, 4 points.
Oh, 4 points. Three goals and you win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the issue is that once you've got your team settled, there is no points. It's players. You just have six players. Once you're happy with your six players, it's just rinse and repeat. It's just like you play again the same game, and you do the same things.
In the same order.
Well, like you start working out even like subtleties of activation. Like you know, somebody has to go first. Has to have a turn first. And it is an issue in Guild Ball. Is like the person who receives the ball has dominate. Like if the butchers receive the ball, they just hold the ball onto it and like come and get it.
Come and get it and die.
Yeah, come and get it and die. You know, like because we're not interested in scoring. We're interested in killing you.
Like the dwarves in Blood
Bowl. If they gave it to their most tankiest player, and another team might come in and tackle the ball off and just taking the ball off them, but then you've got that player standing next to a butcher player who will just.
So he can't get away.
Yeah. Well,
so you come in, you tackle the ball, and then you're stuck pinned.
Well,
with the
some
player.
Players will be able to get some distance away, but they can't get enough distance away
to prevent what's coming.
Prevent what's coming, yeah.
Right.
And then the butchers just start killing you, and so.
And you don't come back.
Well, you do, but you come back at reduced. You get what's called icy sponge tokens, and you come back at either a third health or 2/3 health. But you also come back quite far away from where the scrapping is, so. You're not involved for another couple of... That player isn't involved for a while. And when he does get there, he's injured. So he's even easier to take out again. And then you're scoring another 2 points off him.
Ooh.
Mm. Okay. This is the problem I see. And now what I would like is someone to use Fisherman against me and show me the beautiful side of the game.
Like these are elves, are they?
Yeah, the elf team.
Wood elves.
Yeah, the wood elves. I'd like to see that and lose 12-0 and be like, wow, that was impressive. How did that happen again? And then, like, watch... And then, like... And that would... Because it needs that balance. Like, the butchers are far right.
Mm.
The fishermen are far left. And every other team's in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see that. I've seen the easy answer, which is far right.
Mm.
I'd like to see the more harder play, which is far left, done on me. You know, like... And then... Because you can't theory it. I know a game you can just sit there and theory it. You've got to see it on the table.
But that's one thing the Blood Bowl have done well. You can play both extremes and everywhere in between.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
you could go from like.
But as Guild Ball enters more as they enter more teams, they're all going to fit into this criteria. You're not going to get one that's more hitty probably than Butchers, nor are you going to get a team that passes the ball more than Fishermen. So every other team will go in the middle.
Yeah.
Somewhere, yeah, you know, like Masons, one of the teams I have, I've also got some Fishermen, is that they're meant to be in the middle somewhere, like roughly. They can do good. They can do well at both things. But do they? Like, you come up against butchers and you get beat up, and I want to...
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of
they're probably a team that doesn't suit me, actually. I should be playing fishermen. But, we'll see.
The problem with fishermen is if they're going to be wood elves, they need to be wood elves. I mean, wood elves are ridiculously good.
In Blood Bowl,
left unmolested.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they'll just...
If they can keep making their two-ups...
It's the boom score, boom score.
Yeah.
It's like, next.
Yeah, they overscore so much it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like
by the time you've started whittling their number down, they're 3-0 up.
Yeah, 3-0 up, and then they just delay and win.
Yeah.
And then any counter, they score again.
So maybe that's what I need to do. I need to play Fisherman.
Yeah, I mean, I that's...
And if you can't play Fisherman, then the game's just basically... It's just the bash side of
football. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, it's Guild Ball is supposed to be a football game. Like, you don't pick up the ball, you kick it. So it's meant to be. It's the.
I didn't even know that.
No, they're kicking the ball.
So like, why are they kicking it at a circle? Well, there's no goal, is there?
Yeah.
There's no goalkeeper. They just.
Yeah. So football originated from these big village villages like playing like all the all this village
with
versus
pig,
that village,
running with a pig,
and they're trying to kick the ball like miles, like, you know, from one place to the other, and that's what Guild Ball like styled on, and then they put in some fantasy world, and that's what Guild Ball is. So it's got its rooting in a historical game setting, which is quite cool. It's a great concept. It's just that, like, it's so a lot of people left War Machine to play Guild Ball,
yeah,
but they'll get bored of Guild Ball because there is no, because once they're happy with their team, they're like, well, there's no scenario, they don't roll, there's no steamroller for it.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. See, I'm like the opposite of an early adopter generally. So I didn't start War Machine until a few, 2 or 3 years into the War Machine. Guild Ball's only piqued my interest like 18 months since it came out.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to get interested in it. But that's fine. That's not everybody jumps on something immediately.
I mean, I'll play you a game of it if that's...
Oh, I've got plenty of offers. Matt's promised to paint me a fucking army for it. Matt Hart himself, he's going to paint me the army. So
that'll be worth a lot of money in years to come.
Well, maybe I'll take him up on it now.
I'll get it now.
So come on, Matt. Let's do this now, finally.
And sign this one to Mr. eBay.
Mr. eBay. Ethan Bay.
Ethan Bay. He's fine. Big E.
Big E. Right, okay. What we got next?
Yes.
KR sponsorship. Do it, man.
Yeah, KR.
Kaiser Rushforth.
If you like transporting your models safely, KR is the thing to do it in.
They are.
Yeah, can't deny it.
Yeah. I wonder, do you know that last event, was it your event that I won the tray at? The little...
Yes.
Do you know what that tray's for? I can't...
I don't know. Maybe, so it's, just, like a, maybe it's just prize support.
No, yeah. It's like, I just don't know, it's like all pluck and pick. Yeah. It's about 2 inches thick and about A3 size. If anybody knows what kind of I can use for it, or maybe I'll put it up for a prize.
Maybe you'll win another one.
Maybe I'll win another one. Okay, today's match, let's do it. Right, so we've got about 25 minutes left.
Right, okay.
What happened today? We played meeting engagement.
We mixed it up. So we took, basically, meeting engagement, you should take a 6x4 board and you divide it into six 2x2 squares. So we marked it out with dice, two measurements, just to show the laydowns.
Yeah.
Anybody could do that.
Good.
Then you roll up then you divide the tables 1 to 6.
Yeah.
And you roll 3 dice, and that one player gets those 3 rolls. But you cannot have all 3 on one side.
No.
You can have any other combination, but it can't have 3 on one side because that's battle line. Yeah, so that's my 3 table sides.
Yeah.
You know, then you roll off the scouting roll.
I had 6, you had 3.
3. Winner of the scouting roll places their scouts down, and they place their scouts randomly, like, into which of their 3 table quarters, so we D3'd it then, like, into which table quarter they're going into.
Table 6.
So, you play, the winner of the scouts place their scouts down, in their table quarters that they've rolled for.
That's a big roll.
Oh, it's a big roll because...
Because it makes scouting really important.
You want scouts in this scenario because if you place scouts down, you're forcing the enemy back. You cannot set up within 30 centimetres, so basically no one-turn cavalry charge.
Yeah,
into...
Can't put characters in?
No, nothing.
Nothing within 30?
Okay, so flyers would be able to, but flyers can do that in battle line anyway. So
what I managed to do is put both my units of flyers right near the centre.
Yeah, which is what you should do.
And it kind of creates a massive exclusion zone and messes around with your deployment.
And that's exactly what happened. So then I lost the scouting roll, so my army then places down. The way we limit it is that you divide your army up into brigades, and you're rolling for each brigade. Now, Skaven can have an unlimited roll. We had to play this matchup, which was I use Skaven, Barry use Elizabeth, to stress test this scenario. So what do we do? How does the army that has unlimited brigades play this scenario? So we enforced a maximum of 4. So I basically had my Skaven down in lots of 4 unit blocks and was rolling for them 1 at a time. Now, I can place them once they're placed next to other blocks. Of course I can. But I have to do those building blocks first. And what it ended up in the dice rolls is I got nothing in one of my table quarters, apart from 2 characters, and then I got the army basically just from the rolls ended up divvied up between the other 2 in the 2 ones in the middle.
Yeah.
So I had most of my army, like 2/3 of it, roughly
with the bell and the artillery.
No, not less, but maybe just under half. You know, in one table quarter, one.
It was
one,
more than half.
Oh, whatever. Like what in one middle quadrant. The other one had like a big chunk of my army, a third, say.
Chaff.
of well,
all chaff,
no, but it's
apart
all,
from
my,
the Doom.
My army's all chaff.
No artillery.
And it was forced to set up in the middle on a strip of land, basically. So, like, that was unit strong because the flyers had forced it. They can't go in depth. So I had one big brigade facing one way and one smaller brigade facing the other way. Barry then takes his arm, and I got no character that rolled into that table quarter. So I've got about a third of my army with no character in it, with it, sadly.
I mean, that happened to me the previous
game. Barry's army sets up. He gets better rolls, roughly. But he's ended up with his four...
Well, I've got more table to deploy on.
He's got his four Cold One Knights brigade with... with a key character to control it,
and the general
on one flank of this stranded third of my army, and he's got another big block of infantry, but only he's got a wizard to control it on the other
six.
Side. Unleashed, it's not so good. Anyway, Barry sets up. We then roll off the first turn. Now, disaster might have been avoided if I got the first turn as well,
it wouldn't have been avoided. It
wouldn't have been avoided, but it would have.
Helped turn after.
But Barry got it and got it the first turn, and then made the rolls with his cavalry, the two rolls to get them into combat with the brigade that was facing them. Cold One Knights massed together, make a mess of anything. And they wiped out my first brigade and started over, and even managed to get one unit to get into the rear of the second brigade.
No.
Yeah, you did. Because
you
moved the Cold Knights forward, you sent three units in, and then you fired off another order
to get in further.
It's like, ugh.
That's true.
But anyway.
So we had the four at the front.
Yeah.
And then we got the Doom.
The die was cast, basically, because the Cold Knights are so good, and I'm only going to whittle them down slowly, and he can set up for initiative charges for the second turn. I can't order my stuff, because he's not going to give me an initiative charge, unless I magically win a combat. And I can't get a character... Because Skaven don't have the unlimited general command rule, which every other army, apart from yours, actually, Lizardman, would have. I can't even attempt to order this stuff in for, like, a turn. So I'm dashing it. So obviously, in my turn, I dash a hero over there to try and get there, but it's all a little too late, really. And then the rest are murdered, death-killed, on initiative. Yeah, by the Cold One.
And the character dies too.
Yeah, because he gets there, and on a reform of once you've finished off the last unit, you're like, and I'll go and kill your character too. Who just basically turned up and was like, I'm here, guys, I'm here to save the day. Don't worry. Oh, they're all dead. And it's like, oh, and I'm dead too.
So that first couple of turns took 13 break.
Yeah, hurt.
That was stingy.
Yeah, sting. Even I felt that. And then the second half of the game... Like it started, I started to get some good situations come up to me, but obviously that attrition has so swung it that I didn't think I was going to win. I did look, well, I thought my only play really was to try and kill Barry's general, but I would have needed to get lucky with orders to force him into a unit, and then hopefully Barry would make a mistake and I could go after that unit.
I'm quite cautious.
Run away. So but Barry's too good a player to let that happen. Anyway, so I lost 17-2.
Two? Did you get two in the end? Yeah, two.
Yes, 17-2. There was lots of Barry's single stand units. There wasn't just like I did nothing else. But how did this in question? So I lost the game. Big whoop.
Yeah.
Now the important thing is to learn is that any day you play Warmaster is a good day because it's one of the best game systems out there. Any day you use Skaven is even better because Skaven are the funnest army to play in it. So no biggie. But they aren't. You know, Skaven. Not kidding. Are not very good. And
I think you might have to change your list slightly.
Oh yeah. But that's the point. Like this is what was something we're going to talk about. So it doesn't matter that I lost the game. It's like why did I lose it? How did the scenario play? I'm just saying, from the start, it's like my Skaven army is naturally weaker than your good Lizardman army that you've devised for tournament.
Well, the Lizardman army has its own weaknesses.
Well, yeah, I know it does, but like you're a good player and Lizardman are a good army.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue that Lizardman being a good army.
Those facts are like, I'm a good player, I suppose, but Skaven are not a good army. You know, like, I don't, you know, like, using them, they're not. You know, like, but I like them. Anyway, so what went wrong? Well, I'd have done better if I had a better scouting role. If I won
scouting role's key on this. If I won
the scouting role, that situation wouldn't have happened. Like, so quite so badly.
So lots of people I've played, they don't put anything to scout.
Yeah.
They say,
they're going to suffer when they scout. Because
you need to at least compete at this, because this is horrible to lose.
So And I could make a better scouting role if I put more stuff into it, and I could have troops like gutter runners, which are like get 3 points for scouts. I've only got one unit, but this is suddenly a reason to use gutter runners. List selection could have changed it up. The point is, we want scenarios that make you really think about your list selection. So here, I've come a cropper because I have such a terrible scouting role, which I could improve. Yeah, it's my choice.
There wasn't nothing, was it?
But it's my choice what I bring, and I would need more, and I need a better scouting role for that. Really, I'm purposely got a low one. Yeah, because my choice. Then the scenario itself is like, okay, I was unlucky to not have a single character with a third of my army.
Yeah.
But that happens. It could have been better if I had more characters. I've got a fair number of characters with Skaven.
Well, six or five.
Yeah,
or...
but even so, that was just sheer unluckiness. You know, like, and so I was unlucky to not have a character there. On the flip, you were lucky to have the first turn and to have cavalry where you wanted it and to make the rolls for them to attack. If you failed the first cavalry order and they didn't move, then the game might have been quite a bit different.
Yeah.
So that isn't the scenario, but that isn't like the scenario's fault. That's just like luck of dice, essentially. Like, as in, well, yeah, nothing could have gone there. Like, that was just me getting harshly, you know, like done. But the scenarios are like that. Sometimes scenarios favour you, don't favour you. I'm really happy overall. I'm really happy with this as a scenario. It's like, yes, this is good. Like, this is to go in Winter Roller 17, definitely.
I think the only concern I had was about how long deployment takes. And it has improved a lot,
yes,
but it would still eat a little bit of time if you fanny around too much.
The deployment of this one on your clock will be longer than a battle line one. Because in battle line, it doesn't matter so much because you're quite a far away from the enemy. Here, you might be 31 centimetres away from the enemy.
Yeah, easily.
But on the flip, when you were deploying,
I did my scouts. Then you had to deploy.
Yeah,
you're deploying, not knowing where I'm going to go.
No, it's really hard.
Kind of, you're like, oh shit, which way do I face?
I don't want to face anyway. Yeah. But then once the game starts, the game is naturally quicker because units, instead of being 80 centimeters away, 81, whatever it is, they're 31. Yeah, they can be 31. So
and your command stretch.
Yes, and your command stretch. So.
So maybe the only potential issue, we need to test this,
and
other people need to play this, so we're going to post up the rules, hopefully. Yeah. Paul's going to sort
them out. Yeah, I'll do a beta scenario, Winter Roller.
Post a scenario, is that it may favour the person that goes first too much.
But there's no way, inevitably in chess, someone has to move first. There's no way somebody will have to go first.
The distance.
Yes, I mean, I think...
From 30 to something else, I don't know what it would
be. I think in terms of when you have real estate on the table, and if you... put two things forward. I think 30 is the only, as in 31, is the only really workable distance. Because if it's more, you'll block off
too much of the table.
If it's less, it means cavalry are in you in one turn, potentially.
Well, the only other thing would be have an exclusion zone around the cross point, so that your scouts can't go too near the cross point.
Okay.
So it doesn't push them quite so far back.
So we could try that. I mean, we could try...
Well, maybe, I don't know if we need it, I'm just saying, if it turns out that the person who goes first wins 80% of the matches, then maybe there's something wrong.
Well, that is something for us to adjust, but that's a minor adjustment to the scenario overall, really.
Yeah, the scenario works. I promise you it works. It's fun, it will do your head in.
It's really different from Battleline. It's like, wow, in Battleline, I've got all my army together, and it looks so. And here I all am, and I'm fighting stuff against Barry's cornered up again, and off we go. Here it's like, my God, I've got like stuff
everywhere,
all over the place, and it's out of position. But so's him, as well. Mm.
But I enjoyed this much more. When we deployed by unit, it was horrible.
Oh yeah, but you've got to try.
Yeah,
we're in R&D now, research and development. So now we've got to try these things, and we've got to stress test them extremes. Like we had this one, we had to use Skaven once to see what happened, and you know, like they're
survival, and when they got their stuff together, they were fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just like it's interesting because you might literally have to spend a turn or two just trying to get your army back together again. Like, as in, like, yeah, you know, like, say you had rolled up stuff and you've got some stuff really stuck away from the rest of your army. I don't want to attack with that stuff. I'm literally trying to get it, order it back to my main group.
No, but I did that in the last time we played this. I had stuff. Yeah. I just put it in the wood and prayed.
Yeah.
like, you can't get home because it was cut off. Yeah, yeah. An L.
You've got to save
it. Corner on its own.
And this will write, like, this will inspire, like, story basis off this kind of game, definitely. Because in this one, it'd have been like, so my Lizardman...
Imagine if your general's stuck in a corner with just one brigade.
Yeah, I mean, there's a story right there.
Yeah, you've got to get the general, he's got to die.
The story in this game would have been, well, my main Skaven army was setting up to fight a Lizardman horde, but I've got a bunch of, like, trapped Skaven, like, who are strung out and ambushed, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, and I can imagine, like, on top of my screaming bell, there's, like, a clan rat, and he's, like, with a lookout glass, and he's like, so where's that other army we went to link up with? And he's like, well, there's a whole load of carrion in that valley over there. Like, lots of birds. Like, but I don't see no Skaven. Like...
They're all dead. They're dead.
Even the hero, I said, like, quick, you better go sort that out. It's like, I'm here. Oh, I'm dead.
Poor fella. It was good. Well done, Paul. That's a good scenario. I like it.
Yes.
It's, you reckon we're going to go for three this time round?
We have to have three.
Yeah.
Because in a day's play, you get three games. We have to have. But the intention is that you have more than three.
Okay.
I don't know. There's as many as there are decent scenarios. Okay. If they're generally worthy of being in the document, then they get they're another option in.
Right. So, let's talk about Jim's scenario for next week.
We might need to get that email just to rattle off what he said.
I think I remember it. Objectives, didn't he?
Yes.
So basically, his suggestion was that Paul would have two objectives. I'd have two objectives. We'd place them. There's a minimum distance apart between objectives.
Yeah.
I think he's suggesting scattering them using artillery dice.
Yeah.
Not sure.
This was his suggestion, and I've got counterpoints to this.
Okay. And then basically it was, you had to generate a certain number of objective points, or you had to control the objective at the end of a particular turn.
Yeah.
But Paul rightly suggested that five is a better number than four.
Yep.
So we maybe have one dead central on the board, and then you have two.
Because otherwise it's very, I've got my two, you've got two, we're not going anywhere.
And they can't be. You can't be putting these objectives in deployment zones.
No.
Because that's too far to go.
No.
And then the interesting thing is whether or not you put them. You allow them in terrain and what kind of terrain.
Yeah, because I say yes, you do. So you've got one that is placed dead centre in the table, like as a default, and it makes. I don't know. Like, well, I thought one that's placed away from your selection. The two that you've got, you should be able to choose where they go. And you shouldn't scatter for them, because then they'll encourage a list design build. Like, you'll be like, okay, so somewhere on my half of the table, there'll be somewhere to defend. And the best troops that I've got in defence are good infantry, so it's important that I take some good infantry. Not core infantry, like better infantry than that.
Mm.
You know, like some Chaos Warriors, you know, an example. Yeah, like and if you scatter them, you might place them in the scenery in a bad scatter roll, they're now standing out in the open. Like, it's, you know,
yeah, that's a bit
you
weird,
need to
it?
Place them where they go. And the objectives themselves will be, like, will suggest a base size, but they don't physically, they're not physically anything, like, there. You can be on top of them. Because in War Master, you're going you have to be able to stand on top of the objective.
Okay.
You know, because then there's no question over who's got it. It's, like, the unit that's on top of it. Yeah, like, there's no contesting it. It's the unit that is.
So say you've got,
point.
Like, this objective in the middle of a wood.
Yes.
And you've got a unit of, I don't know, iron guts protecting it. That's pretty meaty.
Pretty meaty, yeah.
So, I can't see it to shoot it, so I've got to go into the wood,
that's
2 centimetres out, and then attack it.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Well, you've got to, that's the point of the game, isn't
but
it?
But I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. Especially if they're supported, you're not winning that battle.
But you've got to fight, well, that you've got to have to, like, come in their flank then.
Okay.
You're going to have to use some trick to get them away. Like, create an illusionary unit with your Araby army and get them
well,
to charge.
Well, they don't charge iron guts.
Well, they'll have to. Well, I suppose. Okay. I don't know.
You have to
like hit them with something. Like,
you can't see them.
Well, you have to get close enough to see them. Then.
I think it'd be interesting. It might be quite difficult to shift stuff.
Yeah.
So it may end up like you're just fighting over the one in the middle, which is maybe what you have to do.
Yeah.
Because if you've got your best stuff defending your two objectives, how are you winning the one in the middle?
Well, you've got to come and get that.
You don't score anything for your own objectives.
How do we score this game?
So it would be 1 point per turn for the one in the middle, or your two opponent ones.
And how many points to win?
Do you score both turns or one turn?
Well, there's something we need to debate.
If I score on mine, your turn, it needs to be a lot. If it's just score on my turn, maybe it's five. Maybe you only need five.
5 points to win.
Yeah, that's
and
not
you're
gonna
scoring
be that easy.
On both turns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're not going to get the opponent's ones very often.
No. So mostly it's going to be five turns off. Yeah, okay, I like that. And
if you do get the one on their side, you deserve it.
And so the way you can lose the game is you can lose the game by your general dying.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose the game by losing on scenario because mm-hmm. you've, like, the opponent's gotten more points, or you lose the game because you time out.
Yeah, so yep. The control points, objective points, aren't going to come into it. They're a tiebreaker again. Unless you get five.
So if your arm, so break point doesn't matter to army. Can you lose the game by your army being broken?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, so there's another way. So
four.
So you lose the game by general dying, army breaking, scenario lost, or timeout.
Yeah.
So in this one, there's adds a criteria to win by scenario.
Yeah.
Compared to the other two. Because once meeting engagement starts, it's a game. It's a
battle. So say I've got four control points, objective points, and you've got none.
Yeah.
But I time out, I still lose.
Yeah.
So it only works if you get five. If you don't get five, it's not going to do anything, is it?
Yeah.
Because it's just a tiebreaker.
Yeah. So we have this scenario adds a way to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can still win via all the other methods.
Yeah, okay, so we're keeping them on the table. Right, that's what we've got to find out.
So what would the alternative? Which one would you take off? You can't take off the general.
No. Well, it never happens anyway. Well, it's
happened to me.
But like, yeah.
I've seen it happen.
I've heard of it happening.
You take off... you're not going to take a break point, you're not going to take a general.
Okay,
you're
not going to take a block. This is why we're debating.
Yeah, so we've got another one.
Okay, so... Well, yeah, but we need to play it.
Next week?
So,
Elizabeth.
I'm happy with the placements of the two that you own. How do you place the central one?
It's in the middle.
Well, it's just literally dead centre. Table. And what if there's scenery there?
It's dead centre.
So, should it be purposely no scenery, or should there be... Because that might favour an army if there's scenery there or not.
It might favour an army if there's no scenery there or not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Then has the centre one is D6'd it. On a 1 to 3, it has a piece of scenery there.
No. Maybe just it can't be something that stuff can't go in. It can't be like a wood.
Okay, it's got to be open for all units.
It could be like a field or something, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
No charge.
Yeah. Well, actually, if you're saying it's something that like everything, well, that limits a lot. You can't have a wood there then.
But it could be a hill.
Yeah, it could be a hill. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Woods are just there's not much you can go in a wood.
Yeah.
Just infantry.
And if there's a bit of scenery that doesn't work, then it has to be part of least resistance moved away, and it needs to be 10 centimeters away from the objective at least.
Yeah, sounds reasonable. Because if it's a wood...
I'm thinking this like a tournament organiser.
So if it's a wood, the only thing that can deal with it is infantry.
Yeah.
So you're potentially ruling out like 60% of your army the only objective...
So if we turn up to play this game, we set the scenery down, we roll the scenario, we've got...
So just say no. No scenery on the middle one. Just open.
Okay.
Open.
Right.
And so if there is cavalry and stuff.
And if there is scenery there, then it has to be moved away...
Take it off.
Well, no, just say there has to be minimum resistance moved away 10 centimetres.
Okay, if you want.
Yeah. Well, no, because I'm just thinking... You have to think what Mark Pocock would do.
Well, I'm getting in the scenery, aren't I? Yeah. Waiting for you to get near.
Yeah.
And how near do you have to be?
What?
Touching?
No, there's only... It physically is a point on the table. You're on it. Yeah.
With a unit of more than one stand?
No, I think...
Anything. Anything, and nothing within what?
No. Like, you're either on it or there's no contesting it. You either got it or you haven't. If neither of you's on the point, neither of you's got it.
Okay.
This is what we have to play. But, like, that's what I would say.
But what if I push you forward and then retreat onto the point, like,
you've
in
got
a combat?
You've got it, then.
Okay, for that time. Right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
There's no contesting, because that doesn't really work in War Master.
It doesn't.
You've got to have it or you don't have it.
Have it or don't have it.
Yeah.
I have it. I'm having it.
Yeah.
Having it. So, next week we're going to have it. Right. We'll book a date and then we'll play that next
week.
I
won't use Skaven for that one. Obviously Skaven is the next army I'm using in the Triwiz.
Yeah.
But I would keep it interesting. I will choose a different army for this one. I don't know what it would be, but I'll use a different army. Right, so there we go.
Interested. I know what you're saying, and I should be doing Kislev or Araby.
Yep.
But I'm interested to see how my tournament army can deal with this list.
There's no rush for an army review.
No, so I'm going to be using Lisbon again, and I'm going to see how they deal with this scenario.
I know we've had some feedback from people, and they say they really like the army reviews, but they don't have to rush them out, do we? Like, you know.
No, there's no point rushing out because I don't know anything about
exactly,
the armies.
You wouldn't say much, would you?
Mm. There were some of them early on, like demons. I played a few games. I really didn't like them, I'll review them, but I don't like them.
Exactly. So, okay.
Right, okay.
Other stuff we want to say. The Triwizard, the one in November, might be allies, mightn't it? They might...
Merc allies.
That's
although, I'm kind of appealing that decision, because as a cheeseburger that I am...
As am I. You know, like, I think that what Jim sent out for, like, okay, how do you think this for a set of allies rules? I was like, well, you could abuse that.
Oh, I did.
And Barry did. And it's like, well, what do you do about that? And I think that...
I don't know.
I think that either... If you're going to have allies, you've got to fix them at, like, 500 points. Like, at least 500 points has to be allies. Because then that forces you to make a significant chunk of your army is another army that can be broken separately.
I'd still probably do it.
Well, yeah, I know you would, but 500 points means something, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
You can't... your way you were breaking it was taking a buff for the main army that you can't be removed, like, but from the Merc army, aren't you? That's essentially what it was.
Yeah, like, there's more good stuff in that list that I just bring along.
What I'm saying, but, like, at least then that makes it more... At least a game, like a better, that makes it more fairer. That, like, because I could.
Maybe you say you've got to bring your hero and you've got to bring 500.
Well, that's the same. Like, I'm saying, like, if it has to be a working 500 point minimum force, so it needs to have a character, it has to have a general.
But I think he wants to keep it. What the maximum then?
Well, up to 1,000 then, isn't it? Because then it's the Merc of the other army.
Okay, right, okay. Like, 999.
You might have two armies that are 1,000 points. Put together.
Okay, I'll let Jim
worry
about it.
One's the Merc of the other one.
You can worry about it, Jim.
Well, I'm just saying, it's like...
But you're not letting me get that cheese in.
Anyway, it's optional from the start. It's like, if you want to bring allies, this is how you do it. I won't bring... Skaven, nobody works for Skaven. Like, I know in the fluff, it says he's evil and thus evil. No one in the fluff works for Skaven ever. You know, like, so I wouldn't take the Mercs anyway. Like, I'll be coming with just a Skaven.
I'm coming with Lisbon. Unless I can get my cheese in. If I can get my cheese in, I'll have my cheese in. Mm-hmm. Right, so contact details. We're finished now. Facebook page, as always, warmaster.podcast, Google Mail. I think it might actually be Gmail. I don't know why they say Google Mail. Gmail.com. We haven't had many comments on that. We've had some Facebook stuff.
Facebook comments, I always ask for feedback, and it's been positive. And I really like reading Facebook comments. Somebody out there wrote us just to say, hey, I listened to this from episode one. I really like it. Thanks very much. I was like, that's really nice to hear.
Try some wash.
Yeah.
Right, good stuff. Next week is another scenario play game for Winter Roller 17.
Yep.
And that was it. That was episode 31 of the Warmaster Podcast with Paul and Barry.
Thank you for listening.
Good night.
Hey, it's a beautiful thing, so I say, 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 so I say,